Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast today. As you may already know, this is not Pastor Al Davis. He will be with us shortly, but he's joining us by way of phone here in just a moment. But we want to welcome you to our broadcast today, and we're going to, open up in a word of prayer. So let's pray. Father, we come to you today. We're so grateful for another opportunity to be on the radio. I pray you'll give unction and power to Brother Al as he's out at the fair today and this weekend, that they would see many souls come to Christ. Bless our radio time now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and invite Pastor Al to come on in. So, Pastor Al, how are you?
Well, good to be with you here, Brother Lutz.
Well, how's it going out at the fair?
Yeah, we're out here at the Summit County Fair this week. It opened up on Tuesday, and I'll tell you what, a lot better than last year. Last year, of course, with all of the shutdowns and masks, Summit County was one of the last fairs in the state that was allowed to be open.
Yeah,
and we had the mandatory mask, and at that time they allowed us to use face shields where you at least see a person's face.
Yeah,
and they didn't have the attendance, obviously, and it was much smaller, much slower. This week, been back full strength and no masks required. And it's been good. It's been good. A lot of people coming through.
Well, that's great. That's great to hear. And it looks as though, you know, it almost like, I don't know how you feel, what you're seeing out there, but rather it's like there's two parallel universes going on. You know, there's one group that's just getting back to normal and doing everything, and there's one group that is just totally panicking and trying to push people into confirmation again. So what are you seeing out there? Are you seeing a lot of people still wearing masks, or a lot of people, you know, just kind of getting back to life?
Most people, I think, have gotten back to life, gotten away from the fear, and you'll see some people coming through. Every once in a while, there'll be some people through that will be masked up, and every once in a while, you'll see somebody come through where they have little kids that wear masks because they're falling prey to this thing that, and unless they've had a vaccination, they can't go out without the mask in public, and if they're under 12, they can't get a vaccination, so they put their, you know, you see little kids in a mask, feel bad for the children, but
yeah.
The vast majority of people are not masked. People are back to enjoying life and getting out, talking, interacting, and life is normal again.
Yeah, it's you see all the reports coming out. What do you think? We ought to start masking the vaccinated. they seem to be the ones that keep getting sick.
Nancy Pelosi has said that. Did you see the thing for in the Capitol building? Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you have been vaccinated. And I actually heard somebody saying that one of the reasons they're having trouble getting people to get vaccinated, a guy was talking, he was a first responder, and I think he was somewhere in the D.C. area. He said that probably three quarters of the first responders that had the vaccine, but about a quarter of them, and he said the reason a lot of them are giving them for not being vaccinated now are, well, if you have to wear a mask after being vaccinated, what's the purpose of the vaccine?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's amazing. Common sense has just gone out the window. I mean, just basic common sense about this, and it shows how powerful the devil is, first of all, with his lies, and to watch so many people fold on that. So, but how's the response been at the fair? You know, I was thinking about, Paul in Athens, and always reminds me of a fair atmosphere. We have our community festival coming up in September, which Lakewood is going to go ahead and do again. And it always reminds you, because now the people aren't behind the door, not answering the door. They're out among you, and you see it all, and it really, you really got to stay focused on what you're there for, because, you know, they'll take you in all kinds of different directions.
Oh yeah.
You know, so how's the response been so far? Have you had some opportunities and those things?
Yeah, it's been good. When you're talking about the fair and everything, and about being out in like the Apostle Paul going out into the marketplace,
yeah,
and things
yeah.
like that. I'm always reminded of Paul Bunyan John Bunyan.
Is it, in, Babe the Blue Ox with him too? Huh?
Wrong Bunyan. Pilgrim's Progress, where you know they went to Vanity Fair.
Yeah,
which, ironically. Was because Bunyan lived near in and around Bedford, England, where I was stationed in the Air Force, just outside of Bedford. You get a lot of Bunyan lore and history there.
Yeah.
And the Bedford market was the pattern for Vanity Fair. If you remember in Pilgrim's Progress,
yeah,
they got into all the distractions and all the things going on that were designed to lure people away from God. And that's what the world offers. And I was having a conversation with the Northeast Ohio Right to Life people that are right next to us.
Yeah.
Last few years, they were not here last year, but most of the last several years we've been next to them.
Yeah.
Back again this year. And they were talking about how they had a thing, a display showing socks, like newborn baby socks.
Yeah.
And it was a thing as a graphical display to illustrate the numbers of babies that have been aborted. And they had this basket that was just full of socks, empty socks, representing babies that never wore those socks because they were aborted, and said that they had a young woman that got angry with them.
Yeah.
Because she said, I came out here to have fun, and I don't need to see this.
Yeah.
But the world has kind of put that attitude into people, hasn't it? I'm here to have fun. I don't need to have anything unpleasant in my life. But things that are unpleasant do have to be looked at, do have to be dealt with. I've talked with several young people, and, you know, when you're young, you don't think about death. You don't think about getting old. And I said, you know, none of us asked to be here, and none of us are going to stay here forever.
Right.
You know, and they get to thinking about it, and it's the challenge, because the fair is a microcosm of the world. There's so many things to catch your eye, the flashy displays and the entertainment venues and the rides and the games and all these things to catch the eye and distract you from life. And there's things in life that aren't always pleasant, but they have to be dealt with. They have to be considered in order, you know, to prepare for them. And certainly death is one of those things. And so that's one of the things that we try to get people's attention. We use a variety of things on our table. Our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, we've been out here for the past 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And we based it on something that some people have seen. Some other ministries have used 3 things God cannot do.
Yeah.
And it gets a lot of people's attention, you know, because the first thing is God cannot lie. And the Bible tells us that in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, where it says God that cannot lie.
Yeah.
And like we do, and I always challenge people. I say, people, whether they're young or old, will say, well, there's, you know, God can do everything. There's nothing he can't do. So I guarantee that this one thing right here, everybody you know does it. When they say they don't do it, they're doing it.
Yeah.
And if you say you're not going to do it, you wind up doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
God can never do it.
Yeah.
And then when they see that it's God cannot lie, we had a middle-aged lady last night, and she was kind of looking at, you know, like a little askance at it. And once we opened the door, she's like, well, amen, that's right. That's right. she really embraced it. And we had a good conversation, but also had a Muslim family that came up.
Yeah.
And they had 3 young boys. I think it was 3. And at least 2. And they were under the age of 12. Maybe 12 was the oldest. And they really wanted to see it. Their dad came up with them and opened the doors. And actually, they asked some questions. We had a chance to share some Bible truths, you know, about God, because there's that first one again. God cannot lie.
Yeah.
And we know from the scriptures that that's a true nature. That's part of his nature. But, you know, in the Quran tells us that Allah lies.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking after they left, it was interesting. I know they were practicing Muslims because the women that were with them were all wearing hijabs and burqas.
Yeah.
And,
hey, Pastor Al, I'm going to cut in real quick. We're getting a lot of air, like the wind blowing, so I don't know.
It's a breezy day. I'm sorry,
so I don't know if there's a break, something we can do. But I mean, we're getting through, but it's just there, so I just wanted to mention that.
I'm sorry. It's been actually picking up since I've been here. But I was just going to say, you know, getting that seed in there that they can see there's a difference between the God of the Bible and the God of the Quran.
Yeah.
We just pray that, you know, we get through. We're sowing seed, and the Bible says some plant, some water, but God gives the increase.
Amen. So the first door you go to is cannot lie. What's the second door?
God cannot change. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. And so every once in a while somebody will say, but didn't it say somewhere God changed his mind about something?
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, he makes differences in what he's going to do, but his fundamental nature cannot change.
That's right.
He's never going to start lying.
Yeah, amen.
He's absolutely holy and righteous. And it's like fire will always burn. It never freezes. It's
right.
It's nature. If it froze, it wouldn't be fire.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
If God could lie, he wouldn't be God.
Yeah, I love that second part of that verse, too, because I remind the church all the time, we better thank God that he doesn't change, because it says, therefore, ye sons of Jacob would be consumed, or aren't consumed.
Yes.
You know, if he would say, well, you know what, this is too bad, I'm going to change the way of salvation, I'm going to go back on my word, consume them all. Thank the Lord he can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing. So you got God cannot lie. And I know it startles people sometimes because we use the euphemism kind of like, well, God can do anything. Because we know he says, well, with God, all things are possible. And so to see that, like, well, wait a minute. That must be false doctrine. That must be heresy over there. Let me go, you know. So it's a very provocative statement. So he cannot lie, he cannot change. When they get to the third door, what do they find out?
Well, and I was going to say, so far, usually people go along with it.
Yeah.
Usually I don't get much argument. You get a lot of agreement and a lot of, like, you know, nodding of the head, like, well, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But when we get to the third part, the third part's the one that people usually balk at. And that's the one that says God cannot allow sinners into heaven. And we have in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, starting verse 3, where it says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And so that gives you the opportunity, because usually by this time, most people have admitted, yes, I do lie.
Yeah.
And we know from the Bible that that's a sin.
Yeah.
And so people will generally accept that. But when they get to that last one, they don't always like that one.
And yeah, it's very confrontational.
And that gives you the opportunity to share what Christ did and how, you know, God can't change. We'd like to change, but we fail because the moment you say you're never going to lie, what do?
You just lied.
and so God has to change us. And that's where you start to see how people are going to react and how God's working in their heart. Because sometimes people get thoughtful. Sometimes people go, nah, I just don't agree with that. And they'll walk off, you know.
Yeah.
But we try to get that out, try to get that into people's mind. And hopefully it'll get down into the heart. And God will, even if we don't see it, somebody else will find them and talk with them. And they'll say, you know, I've been thinking about that because... And they'll get saved.
And that's a great, you know, the Bible says God's word will not return void. And and that's why we're just supposed to be seed casters. You know, we're out there casting the seed, and we don't know the condition of the soil per se, but God does.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
You know, and I think in the day and age we live today, you mentioned earlier about how the one young lady got upset. I wanted to come here and have fun. And I think for too long, the salt has lost some of its savor in the sense of provocativeness. Mm-hmm. And I think what we've realized is, you know, if I walk up and throw a little bit of one grain of salt in your eye, you're going to start crying, right? It's going to burn. Mm-hmm. And I think for too long, we've been so focused on salt being the preservative, which it is. It's a preservative against corruption, the corruption, mm-hmm. further corruption. But it's also a provocative to thirst. I mean, there's a reason that McDonald's puts a lot of salt on their fries, and so you'll buy the drinks, you know. And I think there's, you know, one of the great things about a fair ministry or a festival ministry or really door-to-door ministry is you're out there provoking people to think about things that, like you said, they don't want to think about that. They want to go have fun. They want to experience, you know, what they think is fun and life and all these things. And don't want to be confronted with that, and yet that's what we're called to do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we had a question asked one night. A guy said, "Well, why do you do this?" Meaning, why do you? Because we were saying we like people to ask questions.
Yeah.
And he said, "Why? Why do you do that?" And he was thinking we get something from it. Like, I don't know if he thought we were gonna get money for it, you know.
Yeah.
So many questions, we get a dollar or if he thought like. Some groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses think if they do enough doors, if they think they do enough Bible studies, they're going to get bonus points with God and yeah. let them into paradise.
Right.
And I said, nothing. We get nothing for this. Although I did think later on when I went home, I should have said, no, we get the satisfaction of seeing somebody come to an understanding of,
yeah.
of a Bible truth that they didn't understand before.
Yeah, amen.
But I was kind of looking at the idea that, you know, we don't get any money for doing this.
Yeah.
We don't get any rewards, you know, or any bonus points with God for doing this. We're doing this because God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things, again, and you could speak to this because you've been doing this for a long time too. How hard is it to stay on topic? Because even when you go with the Lord, you know, or go with Paul into Athens, you know, he goes in there, he hears the Epicureans, he hears the Stoics. But he says, wait a minute, here, let me preach unto you Jesus. Now, I'm sure so many people want to talk about the Constitution. They want to talk about America. You know, you got conservatives coming up to you. You got liberals coming up to you. All of those things. But those things really don't matter in that moment, do they? It just matters about Jesus.
Well, and that's right. Although, now, like you said, you get people want to talk about all these things.
Yeah.
And the devil will gladly distract you with good topics
yeah.
about good subjects.
Right.
And it keeps you out from the good news of the gospel. But sometimes by starting a conversation, and I know you've seen this too,
yeah.
with some of these topics, then you work yourself into what the Bible has to say.
Sure.
And how the Bible yeah. relates to those topics. And then that moves the conversation back, and sometimes you start drifting a little bit. And I'll admit, I like to talk about politics.
You? No way. You know, get out of here.
Yeah, like the two things you're not supposed to talk about right, in public.
That's right.
And politics.
Amen.
Like my favorite subject. But you know, you try to guide it back in. Sometimes it's like somebody who's using an example of sailing. When you're sailing into the wind, you tack into the wind.
Yeah.
And so you kind of go this way and then you go the other way, but hopefully you're gaining ground or water, I guess. You're making steady progress in the direction you want to go, even though you're going side to side,
sure.
tacking into the wind. And that's sometimes what you have to do with some of these topics, because there's one school of thought that says if somebody asks a question, don't even deal with it. Just say, that's a good question. We'll talk about it later. Let's get back to this.
Yeah.
But I've found over time that turns some people off.
Sure.
They go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, that question, where did Cain get his wife, might be the obstacle to them believing the Bible. And if you touch on it a little bit and show that you're addressing it, then they're open now to going to the gospel rather than just shut them down.
Yeah.
And then they go away saying, well, they don't let me ask questions because they don't know either.
Right.
And we've had that happen. Wow, you're the first people that have let us ask questions.
Yeah.
And what about this? And then we try to steer them back to the Bible, and all the while hoping that we can plant that gospel seed.
Sure.
And if it comes to fruition and they want to put their faith in Christ today, that's fantastic. But if they're like, you see, sometimes Paul had some said, we'll hear thee again of this matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, they needed to think about it a little bit. And if it's us or yourself or somebody else down the road that's able to come along and water the seed that we planted, it's God that always gives the increase, like we said earlier.
Yeah, and it really shows, we got about 5 minutes to go here, brother. You know, it really goes to show you that the essential requirement of the Spirit of God in the whole matter. You know, right. It's like we're not involving. I mean, yeah, we're availing and we're presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, but without the Spirit of God, you know, we're just having conversations. That's all we're doing.
Right.
But it goes the spiritual preparation. You know, the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is of the Lord. It really goes to show you why we need to be students of the book, and right. Because you don't know what you're getting. I love the festivals because I tell the church, and like I said, we're getting ready for ours in about a month there at Lakewood or Madison Park. Is these are the people that we're knocking their doors all year long, and they're not answering the door. They're not answering their ring. They're probably looking at us through the ring doorbells. But but now they're out and about. We got a shot at them now, you know. And you don't know what you're gonna get. And it's exciting. I think when your heart's right, you're excited. I used to love fishing. I still love fishing. I just don't go as often because you just don't know what you're going to catch. You know, you throw that line in or throw a couple lines in, and man, you're hoping. And that's what soul winning's all about. That's what the fair ministry is really all about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another thing, too, and I know we're quickly running out of time, for church members who are saved but are reluctant to go out, don't think they can go out, they're unsure about talking to somebody about the Lord, I think these things make an excellent opportunity because I've watched people that normally might be a little hesitant. They're willing when somebody comes up to them and asks them a question.
Yeah.
Then they're better able to respond than if they had just gone up to somebody they've never met before. Yeah, because some people are more introverted, and it's hard for an introvert to go up to somebody they don't know and just start asking personal questions. But when somebody comes up to them and asks them, well, what is this all about? What does this mean?
Yeah,
it gives them a chance. And I've seen some people actually open up and begin sharing the gospel with people where they may have never done it before.
Amen.
So it's a tremendous opportunity for growth for Christians and an opportunity for Christians to fulfill that commission that Jesus gave to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you can do it at a fair ministry. You can do it at a festival or something. And so it's great. And it's a lot of fun. It is answering questions and seeing God work in hearts and seeing people understand and come to Christ Even the people that reject, we still know we were out doing what God asked us to do.
Yeah, and you know, our experience has been, too, is there's a perception with the attitude of the country right now, everybody hates each other, you know? And it's really not the case. It's real cordial. Every once in a while, like, you'll have something, you know, again, a young woman or something. I had a Greek priest one time. That was pretty good, right in the center of the market. That was a fun one. But, you know, it's that's not the case. The case is they're just people living their life. Most people, even in America, don't even think about death. And yet we have the opportunity to present the gospel. They've all heard the gospel and all those things, but to be presented with, what about you? You know, it's a great opportunity. We got just probably about a minute and a half left or so, Brother Al. So,
And I was just going to say, we're right inside the main gate at the Summit County Fair. The fairgrounds are in Talmadge, Ohio.
Okay.
Basically where Howe Avenue and Route 91 cross. And we'll be out here through Sunday. If somebody's out this way, wants to come in, we'd love to meet you. I'll be here until about 6 o'clock today, and some other people will be here. I'll be here all day tomorrow and all. And we have our Friday night Bible study tonight as well.
Good. I was just going to ask you about that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be on tonight. That's why I'll only be here till about 6.
Okay.
But Pastor Lutz, thank you for sitting in the studio today. Appreciate that.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. We look forward to having you back, Lord willing. Next week, and we certainly hope for the best there at the fair. You got some good weather today, that's for sure.
Beautiful. We had a little rain yesterday, made for a fun time, but we've met some people that listen to the program as well. So
praise the Lord. Well, amen. Well, thanks for listening. We hope you all have a great weekend. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.